The new Stormont executive is being urged to splash the cash on our universities. The head of Queen's University has warned of a brain drain in Northern Ireland unless there's more investment in higher education. Student leaders are also pushing for tuition fees to be axed. But how far should Stormont go when it comes to spending taxpayers' money? The Alliance MLA, Stephen Farry, was the higher education minister until just a few weeks ago. Good morning, Mr. Farry.
Good morning, Stephen.
And the student union leader, Fergal McFerrin, is still Fergal McFerrin and is also the president of the NUSUSI. Good morning to you, Fergal.
Good morning.
So this warning, Stephen Farry, from the Vice-Chancellor of Queen's about funding and a brain drain was in the Belfast Telegraph.
Yes, I mean it's consistent with what I've been saying for the past number of years. And you'll recall we did the big conversation during the last year of the outgoing assembly, in which we did highlight that there was a funding gap in terms of higher education. And indeed, unless we address that, not only were we going to fail our young people and force them to go elsewhere out of Northern Ireland, but we weren't going to be investing in the skills required to transform our economy. And particularly with a lower rate of corporation tax on the near horizon, to not invest in a sufficient level of skills would be completely fatal, and would actually make that move completely counterproductive.
Where are you getting this from, Fergal McFerrin, that student fees should be axed? This is the next of it. Where are you getting the money for that from?
Well, I think if you look at some of the commitments that the political parties actually put in their manifestos ahead of the election, you'll see yourself even, say Sinn Féin, in their own manifesto, who quoted that they would work to remove the cap on domestic properties of the value of over £400,000. There are lots of different ways and means that not only can we save money in Northern Ireland, but also that we can raise revenue. The SDLP had a whole host of options around tuition fees. The Alliance Party had made a whole host of options around saving and raising revenue in Northern Ireland too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's unfair to say that it would maybe be pie in the sky thinking or anything along like those lines, especially.
How much would it cost in total?
In total, to abolish fees, it would be around £116 million is the figure that the previous department that doesn't exist anymore gave.
But, sure, per year.
Yeah, but actually, Stephen, if you look across other OECD countries across the world, actually 70% of all funding for higher education comes from public sources. To say that we should abolish tuition fees and fund our universities through public funding isn't some kind of thing that we've dreamt up. It's actually the norm across most of Europe.
How likely would it be for Fergal to get his way in this, Stephen? You're probably close enough to thinking on the Hill.
Well, I'm not sure what the plans are of the incoming executive. I wouldn't go as far as Fergal in saying that we can abolish tuition fees. I think we need to be realistic in that regard, but certainly I think it is feasible for us to keep them in line with inflation. And Fergal's certainly right in that what we see in England with fees of £9,000 per annum is actually the outlier internationally. Even in a country such as the United States, which has a reputation for high fees, once you discount the private universities, their fee levels on public institutions are actually less than in England. So we're, shall we say, in the mid-range in terms of the international models across Europe. And indeed, closer to home, Scotland are continuing the policy of free fees for local students, and they have done that through cutting maintenance grants. So I wouldn't necessarily want to follow that route completely. But it does show that we do have a range of options. And our figures would suggest we need to invest an additional £85 million per year in higher education. That addresses the cuts that have been imposed by the executive over the past number of years.
Just as I'm glancing here at the front of the Belfast Telegraph, Vice-Chancellor says over a third of students leave here at 18. Over a third.
Well, that's right. I mean, Northern Ireland historically has had a small higher education sector, and we've exported our young people elsewhere.
That was yesterday's bell teller.
Yeah, and historically very few of them actually come back. Now, that situation has been reversed to a certain extent in recent years, and more recently I was able to increase the number of places in terms of STEM subjects, that's the science and technology subjects that are particularly important to our economy. But we do need to look to also expand our sector. We did a piece of work called the Northern Ireland Skills Barometer, which sets out the skill requirements over the next 10 years in each different occupational area, and we need a lot of more of high-level skills. That includes things like high-level apprenticeships, but also means more university places, and obviously there's a demand for, in particular, growth in terms of the McGee campus in Derry.
How much money is actually needed in the higher education sector?
Well, My estimate is £85 million per annum, and there's three components to that. The first is to address the cuts that have been imposed, where we've seen a reduction in places in the past year being announced, and those are still working through the system. Now, for this incoming year, we were successful in being able to avoid any further cuts, but we're still going to see the damage of the cuts that have been put in place. The second element is what we call the structural gap. That's the amount of money we spend per place relative to that in England, and that varies between £1,000 and £2,500 less than the situation in England. So unless we address that, there's a real threat to the quality of our provision. And then we also need to expand the level of places by perhaps 1,500 to 2,000 in order to address increased demand from a lot of local companies wishing to grow, but also companies wishing to invest in Northern Ireland.
And this is where, Fergal McFerrin, we don't have this magic money tree. We're talking here about £1 billion extra on health over 5 years in Northern Ireland. We're talking about needing £500 million to mitigate welfare reform over 4 years. Now you want the scrap tuition fees, which will cost £100 odd million, whatever it is. There's no magic money tree.
I think we need to understand it in the context that we're in. And part of that context is that the executive have agreed to devolve and reduce corporation tax. If they do that, as they plan to, then realistically they're going to need a flow of highly skilled, highly qualified graduates to fill any kind of jobs that they're trying to bring to Northern Ireland. To do that, they need to invest not only in higher and further education, but they need to invest in students as well. And one of the things that I don't think that was reflected properly in Professor Johnson's interview in the Belfast Telegraph yesterday was that the cost of higher education is not just the cost of teaching someone to give them a degree. It is actually being able to support them properly to be a student. And nowadays we have the situation where more and more students are not just working a part-time job alongside their studies. In many instances, they're starting to work one or two part-time jobs, working as many hours as they study to be able to survive as a student. And that's a situation that also needs to be addressed if we're going to look properly at ensuring that our students are supported whilst they study. So the cost of providing higher or further education is not just the cost of course delivery, it's the cost on the student itself. And an awful lot of the time, there are hidden course costs alongside those as well, say the cost of textbooks and so on that aren't included in prospectuses that students don't know about until they're told that they need a certain textbook or whatever it is to be able to succeed in their course. So there's lots of other elements in this discussion that I think we need to talk about.
What do you think at home? Do you think students should get free fees? Well, it wouldn't be free fees, would it? It would be free tuition. 0330 80 55 55. Of course, it's maybe cliched, Fergal, but the image that some people might have in their mind of students kind of knocking about, having a care in the world, out drinking at night, partying, all this kind of thing, doesn't really tally with your analysis of them finding it, you know, really difficult to buy their books?
Well, I guess from the research that we have and the figures that we see, that's actually not the norm for most students these days. Most students are working more hours than they study. They're in the library more often than they're at a pub. And I think sometimes it's quite a lazy generalisation to make. But I think it's good that we're having this discussion this morning, because I think even as an even greater context, our primary education system and our secondary education system is free at the point of access. That's because our society has decided to invest in that form of education, because it realises that for a skilled workforce, for an equal society, for a prosperous economy, it should be provided to every individual to ensure it's accessible. If our higher and further education system is of equal value to ensuring that we have a dynamic society and a prosperous economy, why should it not be treated on par with those forms of education to give everyone equal access as well?
Okay. Thank you, Fergal. Thank you, Stephen. Morning to you.